The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
You know, I can say this and I can say it without any doubt and without any defense, but I think that we as humans have a listening problem. Now, understand, we can hear. We can hear just fine. But I think we have a problem with listening. Jeff's not in here. I know he had his ears checked this week or sometime and found out his ears are perfect. He's just not listening. We have ears to hear. I mean, God gave us two ears for a reason. You know, the saying goes, he gave us two ears and one mouth. Do the math. But listening is a skill that we need to learn and we need to hone it. We don't naturally just easily listen. My kids do not naturally listen to me. They hear me most of the time, but they don't listen to me. Effective listening is an acquired and intentional skill. And in our walk with Christ, if we say we are believers, we need to develop that skill. We need to strive to utilize active listening. Now, what is active listening? Active listening is when, number one, you concentrate. When you're listening to someone, are you looking at them in the eye? Or are you off, you know, your eyes wandering someplace else? It's active. It's you're concentrating. You're understanding what they're saying. And you are responding. Have you ever been talking to somebody and you know they're not listening, so you throw something crazy in there and they're like, yeah. You know, your hair's on fire. Yeah. Because they're not actively listening to you. But you need to respond to it. And then this is the key. You need to remember it. You need to remember what somebody is saying to you. Because if without it, if we're not actively listening, we might as well, if I'm talking to someone, they're not actively listening to me, I might as well just be a gong banging, you know, or a cowbell, you know, ding, 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 because it doesn't matter. Do you ever feel like you're talking? I tell my kids, I feel like I'm talking to the wall, hoping that it bounces off the wall and enters their ear and they actually hear it. We have a problem today, I think, with actually listening to people. It shows in our political spectrum. People, they don't listen to each other anymore. All they do is they argue. We need to listen more often. I need to listen to my spouse more often. I need to listen to Beth more. I hear her all the time. She's not in here. Good. Charlie Brown? Wow, wow. That's what I hear. Literally, that's what I hear. And it's not because I need hearing aids. It's because I'm not actively listening. Yeah, I've been preaching a lot. For some reason, all the time I've been preaching every Sunday, and spouses are looking at each other during these times of preaching, except for Barb because she got caught last week. That's okay. We need to listen to each other more often. See, in the Old Testament, what God did, it was the normal practice for God to speak through prophets. He would talk to a prophet and say, this is what you need to tell the people. You know, look at, best example is Moses. Go tell Pharaoh. Go tell the people. And Moses would go and he would talk to them. And some of them would listen, some wouldn't. Pharaoh didn't listen. But then there's this time for 400 years between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew where God was silent. Where God did not speak through the prophets anymore. We have no writings of the prophets. He may have, we just don't have them. But we don't have the writings of the prophet. What I believe is that God was preparing for the next phase of how he was going to communicate with his people. Was he silent? No. I think God was transitioning. And a new voice would be heard. If you got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. This talks about what I just said. The writer of Hebrews is explaining what is going on now. And here's what it says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Father, we praise you that you're not silent, that you speak to us through your Son. And as we're going to see here in a few minutes, Father, you speak to us through the Holy Spirit. The question is, God, are we listening to you? Do we listen to the Holy Spirit? Or do we just hear it? Father, I pray that we would listen to what the Spirit has to say. Pray this in your name. Amen. See, God the Father gave Jesus the Son the words to say. When Jesus was here, God would tell Jesus what he had to say. He says, I do nothing on my own. I do only what the Father tells me, what I see the Father doing. Jesus did exactly what his Father told him. Oh, if I could only say that about my children. They do exactly what I tell them. Not going to happen. Number one, I'm not God. Number two, they're not Jesus. Keep telling yourself that, parents. They're not Jesus. You're going to have trouble. Now, according to Peter, in the book of John, Peter's talking, and Jesus has asked him, why are you guys not leaving when people had deserted him? And Jesus had been talking to them and doing some really hard teaching. And what Peter says is, Peter says, well, you have the words of eternal life. Jesus spoke a lot of words while he was here. If you have a red letter Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Revelation are full of red letters. He spoke a lot. He taught a lot. And then after he was gone, he sent the Holy Spirit to speak in his place. In John, this is what he says to them. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. This is an object lesson for you parents, and it doesn't matter. I'm not talking about just you parents who have small kids. I'm talking about you parents who have older kids. Remember what Jesus says. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He did not tell it to them. There are certain, when my kids, I need to talk to them. I try to teach them something. I talk to them, but I've got to find that moment where, whoop, they can't bear this anymore. My lecturing isn't working anymore. I have a lot of things to tell you. This conversation is going to continue later. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, you guys can't take it. You guys can't handle everything I need to tell you. So, he tells them, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He's saying, I have a lot of things to tell you, but you can't understand it. You're not going to be able to deal with it now. So I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead you into truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he says, he hears, he will speak. Again, Holy Spirit hears God the Father speaking and repeats those things to us. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And what is the amazing thing about this is that as we look at the scripture, that the biblical writers they supernaturally remembered what Jesus said to them. There's no other way around it. They supernaturally were allowed to remember. Believe me, I wish I had that sometimes. There are times I can't remember anything. I'm struggling this week, went to Lowe's, and we were on our way back from down in Bluffton, and I said, well, I need to stop at Lowe's and get something. I go in and I get something, and then Beth's in the car and I've got the kids with me, and I'm like, was that the only thing I came here to get? Was that the first thing I came here to get? I could not remember. Now, it may have been it was Lowe's. and I saw some shiny, pretty things all over the place. Spend hours in Lowe's and I ended up buying like 6 additional things, but God allowed the writers of Scripture to supernaturally remember, and they recorded Jesus' words so that we and future generations would have access to God's final glorious message to the world. We have it because they remembered, and it's the good news of the gospel. And I want to say that Jesus' entire life and ministry is an argument as to why we need to listen to the Word of God. Not just hear it, but listen. Actively listen. I challenge you, if you're reading Scripture, read through it, and then go back and read it again, but read it out loud. Hear it. Hear it, and then actually listen to it. Page after page of the New Testament is piled up with reasons why we need to turn off our entertainment. We need to turn off our cell phones. We need to turn off the TV. And we need to read Scripture. Now, I believe ultimately we need to understand it. But that will come. But we just need to read it. We don't read it enough. Because remember, these are Jesus' words. And His words are eternal life. So let's look at some of the reasons why we should listen to Jesus and why many don't listen to Jesus. First of all, no one really ever spoke like Jesus did. His ministry was so astonishing, and it was also so threatening to the Pharisees and his adversaries. They wanted him out of the way. They wanted him gone. The crowd, in 7:32, we see this. He says, the Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him. The crowd is in an uproar about what Jesus is saying. They're like, man, did you hear what Jesus said? Did you hear what he said? The Pharisees are like, something's going on. And what happens is the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. But what happens is, these officers go, and what happens, they come back empty-handed. These are soldiers. These are men with weapons. And they go to Jesus to arrest him, and they come back empty-handed. It was not because Jesus' posse was so hot, was so bulky and could defend themselves and could fight away all these soldiers. That wasn't it at all. Granted, I'm sure Peter was a pretty strong man. He was a fisherman, hauling those nets in every day. That wasn't why. It wasn't because he was protected by a security force. It's because Jesus was saying and teaching some very stunning things. And he was doing it in a way that amazed people. In verse 45 of the same chapter of John 7, it says, the officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, why didn't you bring him? Where is he? Why isn't he here? And here was how they answered. These are Jewish soldiers. And here's how they answered them. No one ever spoke like this man. Jesus spoke with authority. When a Jewish teacher would teach, they would teach, well, it says here in the Bible that la, 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 la. And Jesus says, no, it is written. God said. I said. He didn't beat around the bush. He says, this is the way it is. My kids, and I'm going to pay the price one day in fact, I did. By the way, for those of you who wondered last week when Caleb said, what? When I told him that I would, allow him to be shot in the head if I had to deny my faith. Later that day, he's like, Daddy, we need to talk about what you said in that sermon. So we had to explain it to him. It was good, though. It was a good conversation. See, no one had ever spoke like Jesus. He was to the point. This is the way it is. This is who I am. This is it. This is what God says. This is what you're to do. My kids, I try that. I'm Daddy. I'll use Bill Cosby's line. I brought you into this world, take you out. I didn't, but they're my kids. You need to listen to me. You may not agree with me, but you need to listen to me. For now. One day when you're on your own, do whatever you want. for now you listen to me. But Jesus spoke like that. This is what it is. No one spoke like him. And when they came to arrest Jesus, they heard him speaking and they heard how he was speaking and they saw the response of the crowd that they could not follow through with their orders. We've got military people here. Zach, what happens when you don't follow an order? You get in trouble. So here we have these soldiers who do not follow an order because of how Jesus is speaking and what he's saying to the crowd. These are trained soldiers. They have weapons. It's not a problem. They could overwhelm the crowd. They can take care of it. But they can't do it because of what he is saying. Think about that. Jesus spoke with power and authority. Because these words were the very words of God. And guess what? We have those words right here in Scripture. And yet, too many times, I think the Bible just sits on the shelf. Or the app just sits on our phone. It doesn't do anything. These are the very words of God. And that's what Jesus was speaking. The very words of God. He spoke with authority. You know, Jesus was on Mount Olives. He's preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And the people were so amazed. In Matthew 7, it says, "And when Jesus finished his sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes." He had authority. He taught like he had authority because he had authority. He was the Son of God. And he's preaching the very words of God. This wasn't the fact that Jesus was a great speaker. It wasn't a personality trait of his. It's just that that's what he is speaking. It wasn't so much that he was doing it as a human. It's that he was his God. The Godness in him was doing it. He was fully man, fully God. And it's speaking these words of God. Think of the power. I mean, I've been places and people have been speaking. One of my favorite speakers is Francis Chan. And to be in person, I was sitting there. He would be like standing right here. And you just feel it when he gets passionate. That's what Jesus was doing. Speaking God's word. And the people were amazed. He tells them in John 12:49, he says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority." He's not doing this because he's Jesus. He's speaking what the Father has said. "But the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak." He's not acting on his own words. He's not ad-libbing this and coming up with these things. God is feeding them to him. It's not his own talent that he's using to present the message. It's his words of authority. Because he speaks words that come from God. Now, this is why, you know, sometimes people wonder, man, you put a lot of verses in your sermons. Yeah, because they're not my words. They're God's. There's power in the Scriptures. Jesus' words have authority because he speaks words that come from God the Father. And those words have power. And Jesus showed those powers. He has, Jesus' words silenced supernatural powers. There is a spirit realm going on around us right now that we have no clue about, that we have ideas and we have inklings of it, but we have no idea the extent of it and the power that's in that spirit realm. And we have Jesus who is able to tell these spirits, be quiet. And they have to listen to him. Not only do his words reveal the truth of God, but they also defeat spiritual powers. One day, Jesus has crossed over. And this man comes forward. He's demon-possessed. And he speaks, and they start talking to Jesus. And this is what they say. This is, Mark records what the demons actually said. They said, "What have you to do?" I was going to do a bad demon voice. I'm not going to do that. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Wow. Even the demons know who he is. And they're speaking it. And what does Jesus do? He rebukes that evil spirit. He says, be quiet and come out of that man. And the evil spirit convulses the man and he comes out. And this, I mean, could you imagine seeing this? This is not something we experience normally in our day-to-day lives. But the crowd, they're amazed. It says in verse 27, and they were amazed so that they questioned among themselves saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. Jesus' words have power. Now, understand, I'm not saying that they have power that we should yield, willy-nilly. We don't throw God's power around. But they have power. They have power to change people's lives. When Jesus told his disciples that you'll do much greater things than I will do, that's what he's talking about. The words of Jesus change lives. And this, when Jesus was here, he healed leprosy, he cured deafness. He made the blind see. I mean, think about this. When there's one little phrase that Jesus said, and what those words did, raised people from the dead. In Mark 5:41 through 42, he goes up to a little girl and he says, I say to you, arise, arise. And she rose. In Luke 7:14 through 15, he says to this young man who's dead, I say to you, arise. And in John 11:43 through 44, he goes to the tomb of his friend Lazarus and he says, come forth or come out. Not some huge incantation. By the power given me, no, that's not what Jesus does. Simple words. Arise. Come forth. And they must obey. Because these are the words of God. His words give life. He raised three people from the dead. Four if you want to count himself. His words give life. Remember what Peter said to him. Your words are eternal life. Where would we go? Jesus' words have eternal life. You see, the words of Christ sustain us in our physical life. It does. You know, when we're in trouble, when we've got trials in our lives, and that verse pops in your head of, you know, Jesus said he'll never leave us or forsake us. That powerful. He's here. He's right here with me in this storm. And he'll never leave me. That sustains my life. But his words also give eternal life. Believe in me. Believe in me. And you'll have eternal life. In fact, Jesus is the only way to eternal life. It's an amazing thing to be raised from the dead, you know? Could you imagine? Lazarus has died. He's in the tomb, all wrapped up. Probably getting a little gamey by then. And he hears Jesus say, come forth. And he gets up. He's back. And he walks out. That's awesome. But guess what? He died again. But he had eternal life. Could you imagine being raised from the dead and then ending up dying again and spending eternity in hell? The most precious thing about what Jesus says to us, and the most important reason we need to listen to him, is that his words lead to eternal life. During that same time when Peter told him that his words contain eternal life, he's teaching some difficult things, and many of his disciples left him, and he's left with the 12 apostles. And he asks them if they're going to leave, and that's when Peter speaks up and says the words that the words of Christ have eternal life. But Peter, he was not showing enthusiasm for just Jesus, the charismatic teacher. That's not what he was doing. He was responding with, Jesus responds with a confirmation. This is what he tells Peter in John 6:63. He says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. If you want to have eternal life, you need to listen to the words of Christ. You need to listen. You need to read His Word. You need to listen to His Word. You need to have your mom read you the Word to you, whatever it takes. Have your spouse read it to you. If you ignore what Jesus says, you've rejected eternal life. And you've chosen eternal separation from God. So how do his words do that? How do Jesus' words give eternal life? We know from 2 weeks ago that eternal life comes through believing in Jesus. One of the demands that Christ had was that we believe in him, and it's believing in him that we have eternal life. John 6:40 says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The words that Jesus speaks bring eternal life because they awaken our faith. Let me read that again. Everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. When we read God's Word, we read the words of Christ, it awakens a faith in us. It strengthens our faith and it awakens it. One of His most important parables that Jesus told them was the parable of the seed and the farmer. Farmer goes out and he's throwing seed, and there's four different types of soil. And Jesus explained all that to us later when he explains it to the disciples, to the apostles, because they didn't understand it. But the first soil that the farmer throws a seed onto is a path that's been trampled out. It's like, okay, let's throw some seeds out here in the carpet and let's see if they grow. If they grow, we've got a problem, and Kay and Ted and I need to, spend some time in here really cleaning this carpet, if they grow on the carpet. But they don't. The path is trampled down. They don't even enter the soil. And ultimately what happens is the birds come along and they steal it. So Jesus later, he explains to them what it is, and in Luke it says, the ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. What this means is the word of God is key. What the farmer is spreading is the word of God, and it's landing on a path, and the word of God gets taken from the heart of the people who hear it by Satan himself. And without the word of God, there is no faith. Without faith in Christ, there is no eternal life. There's no salvation. Hearing comes first, then belief. Hearing, then belief, then eternal life. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Why? So how does the Word of God open and awaken our faith? It's because it reveals to us who Jesus is. And it reveals to us what He has done for us. He died for us. We see Him in His glory, and we see the work on the cross, the all-sufficient work of the cross. It was enough to die for everyone. And we see it in His Word. I mean, just imagine that. Imagine we had the Old Testament, but we didn't have the Gospels. And then we had the New Testament. How different would it be? We can see it in this Word, the glory and the all-sufficient work. But the problem is not everyone is listening to Him. Not everyone listens to the Word of God. Those who hear him but don't listen to him and don't hear him as true and compelling. Sometimes they actually agree with what Jesus says, but their hearts aren't affected. It doesn't change their heart. So if it doesn't change their heart, it doesn't change their actions. You wonder why people are in the church and they seem like really good Christians, and yet they stumble and they fall. It's because it's not changed this. They're still hanging on to a little bit of it. We all do that. Hang on to a little bit of it. It takes complete surrender of the heart to God's word. And then it changes your behavior. Jesus spoke in parables for this reason in Matthew 13. He says, this is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. This is why active listening is so important. You need to hear it. You need to remember it. You need to respond to it. You need to actually write it on your heart. It needs to change you. If it doesn't change you, you're going to continue doing the same things you've always done. But why don't they hear it? Why don't they believe? Why don't they listen? Jesus was speaking to those who hated him. These were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all the rulers. He says in John 8:37, I know that you are the offspring. We know you're the offspring of Abraham. We know you're Jewish. Yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. What an amazing phrase. My word finds no place in you. It'd be like me telling my kids, don't do this. Don't hit your sister. And right there in front of me goes off and, well, actually probably the other way around. I think Abigail would hit him first, but that's, my words find no place in you. Their hearts, their minds, they're so clogged with self-interest, with self-imposed self. It's all about them. And many times it's all about us. We're so wrapped up in us that the words of God can't even find a place in our hearts. There's no room. We love the world more than we love Christ. It can't fit, man. I just can't fit another word in there. It just won't go. Because I want it. We try to fit church into our schedule. We try to fit God into our schedule. We try to fit prayer and reading his word into our schedule. When in reality, our whole life should be about God. Our schedule should work around our faith. Our schedule should work around our prayer time. Our schedule should work around the church. And I don't just mean the meetings we have here on Sunday morning. I mean the body, the people. Sorry, I can't help you this week. Too busy. Really? That's not what he wants. No, God, I can't go and share your word with these people. I just don't have time. Really? You should be all about that. And the other stuff doesn't matter. And believe me, I'm not, I'm throwing mud on the wall and realizing that I'm the one who's against the wall, I'm there with you. As I've always said, my sermons are not necessarily just for you. They're for me too. When Jesus was standing before Pilate, Pilate, he's trying to get Jesus to proclaim himself king. Because if Jesus would proclaim himself king, then Pilate can say, you are going against Caesar and you're guilty. What does Jesus do? In John 18:37 says, then Pilate said to him, so you are a king? And Jesus says, you say that I am. He didn't say, yeah. He says, well, you said so. You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come to the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. He didn't say here. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone who's of the truth listens to it. He came to speak God's word. He came to speak the truth. So Pilate says, what's truth? Because the problem was that there was no room left in Pilate's heart for the words of God. Don't be Pilate. Don't be Pilate. I want to stop a minute. I'm going to knock this table over sooner or later. I want to stop a minute. I'm going to ask that you bow your heads. And I want you to search your heart. Do you have a place in your heart for the Word of God? Is there room in your heart for the Word of God? I just want to take a few minutes, and I want you to respond to what has been in this sermon so far. I want you to respond. And if there's no room in your heart for God, for His Word, I want you to pray, God, loosen my heart. Allow me to eliminate those things from my life that don't make room for you. I need room for you. Be in my heart. Because those words are eternal life, Father. I need those words in my heart. I need you to be here. I need to hear and listen to you. Search your heart. See, whoever hears and listens to God and hears His words and listens to His words are of God. Amen. We have a danger in the church today of easy believism. I can believe and then do what I want. Doesn't work that way, folks. Doesn't work that way. God's words must be on your heart and on your mind. You must make room for Him. If you don't, He'll make no room for you. According to Jesus, if you don't hear and listen to His words, you're not of God. But if you do, those words change your life and give you eternal life. And if He does that, then you're one of His sheep. John 8:47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Wow. That's strong words. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. If you have no room in your heart for God's word, you are not of God. See, our condition as fallen humans makes it impossible for us to hear the word of God. But when we hear those words and listen to them, and it awakens our faith, God opens our heart. There's no neutral ground when it comes to Christ. When it comes to Jesus, there's no neutral ground. You are either of God or you're not. There's no right in the fence. You are either selfish or you're selfless. When Jesus speaks, unless God acts to give us those ears to hear and to listen, unless God does that, unless God changes our heart and opens up our hearts. But see, what that takes is us surrendering, and we don't like to surrender. I don't like to surrender. Unless I do, my mind and my heart have no place for Him. This is one of the prayers that Jesus prayed. It's in Luke 10. It says, in that same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit, and he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then he turns to his disciples, and here's what he says. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. See, if we can see the work of God, but we have to have eyes that God gives us. If we hear the words of God, but we have to have ears that the Lord God gives us. And we listen. And we have to have a heart that's been changed by the Holy Spirit. We need to make room for it. And it happens. Then we are children of God. And he says, and we're sheep. I know there's a lot of bad things about sheep, but being a sheep of Christ is a good thing. My sheep hear my voice. We are his sheep. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, in John 10. If we listen to him, if we actively listen to him. Do you? Do you remember what active listening is? You hear it. You remember it. You respond to it. You act on it. Don't just hear it. You must act on it, and then you remember it. Active listening requires us to concentrate. You don't do it willy-nilly. I urge you to actively listen to God's word. Strive to understand them. But first you have to hear them. Respond to them. I don't know about you, and maybe it's just because where I am and how long I've been a believer. I'm getting to that point now. I read scripture, and man, I'm finding things left and right all the time that I can respond to. I act upon them and then remember them. Back in Deuteronomy, God is telling the Jewish people what they need to do with his word. He says, you shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between your eyes. That's the little box that you see Jewish people wearing. See, we need to make sure we don't turn away from the transfiguration on the mountain. On the mountain, it was, Jesus was standing there. He was standing there with Moses and Elijah, and the Peter, James, and John are there. And all of a sudden, Peter, James, and John, they hear this voice come out of the cloud that's around them. And this is what God says. God says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Wow. Listen to him. Your shepherd's calling. Can you hear his voice? Are you going to respond? Are you listening to him? I'm going to ask you to stand. I want you to be honest with yourself. If you think about active listening, we concentrate on what's being said. So I want you to concentrate on his word. And what I want you to do is I want you to respond to it. Think about it. Memorize it. Remember it. Respond to it. Concentrate on it. Father, we need you to help us actively listen. We need you, Father, to do that because we cannot do it on our own. On our own, man, we all have ADD. We are all over the place. Help us, Father, to put those things aside. Help us, Father, to actually respond to you and to your word. Help us to hear it and listen to it and concentrate on it. To write it on our hearts and on our very souls, as you tell us in Deuteronomy. Write it on our souls, Father. This is the demand that Jesus makes. Listen to me. Listen to me. Why? Because your words, Father, have life. Eternal life. Lord, help us as sheep to hear your voice and listen to it. Help us, Father, to seek out your voice by being in your word. The word that gives life. Forgive us, Father, when we don't. Have patience with us when we stumble. Help us not be sheep who go astray. Give us your words of eternal life. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.